we'll start by taking in our hymnals and turning to hymn number 464. Let's stand to sing I Will Praise Him, hymn number 464. Father, we thank you for all who can make it out here to Sunday night church, Lord, and we thank you for the nice weather, and the sun is shining, and we look to you as we are nearing our Independence Day, Lord, and we pray that we'll know what this country was founded on, and look to you, Lord, and that in God we trust, and I pray for the rest of the service to go well this evening, Lord, and that you'll be with Pastor as he brings the message. And in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Well, good evening and welcome each one of you here tonight. It's good to see you folks. Most of you I've seen already today, but it's good to see you again. And we have some guests here tonight. We have the Ring sisters, Hannah and Grace or Mercy. Mercy, okay. I do know that there's both Grace and Mercy, and they look the same because they're twins, right? We have the head kitchen superintendent, Hannah, is that she fills that role very well at camp, and is getting ready for family camp this week, I believe. And so I take it that Mercy is one of your assistants. So... good. Well, we trust that goes well this week, and thank you for joining us. We appreciate that. For our announcements here, I'll give you those. Next Sunday is the 4th of July. And before that, Wednesday is prayer meeting. So I just encourage you to be here for prayer meeting, 7 o'clock. And we have some different ways to join in if you'd like. We do have some phone participants and kind of open those options up. But otherwise, you know, encourage you to be here for prayer and we'll have a time of prayer together. Let's see here. Lillian, could you get the note on the bulletin board for Mrs. Veely? I want to read that, if you don't mind. Okay, thank you. Prayer meeting on Wednesday, 7 p.m. And then next Sunday is the 4th of July. We're planning to have our regular services here in the morning. And then for the evening, we are planning to have an outdoor fellowship at 6:30. And just encourage you to bring a picnic supper for the 4th of July. And we'll be outside here, hopefully, depending on the weather. I would think it'd be nice weather on the 4th of July, but I'm sure it will be, whatever it is. But, you know, if it's rainy, of course, maybe kind of hard. But we'll plan that. It's not necessarily a potluck, although if you'd like to share your food, that's fine. But it's, a picnic, so bring your own picnic, and we'll be outside, and we'll have a time of fellowship together. And time in God's Word, we'll be praying for our country, we'll be singing. So that's what we're going to do for the 4th of July next Sunday night, at the regular evening service time. And then coming up July 11th is the 50th anniversary reception for Alan and Marlene Ray. And they're right there again, so we just praise the Lord for 50 years. Again, and their family is planning this reception after the Sunday morning service on July 11th. And so the church is invited, and just hope that you can be there for that. It is a meal. Did I say that already? I can't remember. But it does involve a meal after the Sunday morning service. And so encourage you to stay there. And then for the evening service on July 11th, we have Mr. John McLean speaking in our evening service. He's from Fallsbury Bible Church, and he's going to be the speaker for Junior Week 2 camp at Peniel, which is the week I'll be attending, and it's my job to select the speaker and to work with the speaker for Junior Week 2, and so I've asked him to come and speak here first before the camp takes place and get him, you know, when he's fresh as opposed to when he's already gone through the 9 chapel services during the week. So he'll be here, Lord willing, on July 11th in the evening. And then we are working on these gospel packages, making those up with the Gospel of John, a tract, and a church brochure in a package. We got into that last year, putting them in packages because of COVID, and seemed like that was actually kind of a nice little thing to give to people, a package with Gospel of John and those things in it. And so we gave out 700 of those last year, towards the end of the year. And then so we'd like to do 1,200 this year, and we've got the materials in. There are some take-home kits, or at least last week we had 5 of those. I think those are all given out for people to make up. Is there some more? Okay, there's one more tonight that's ready to go. So if somebody tonight would like to take that, take it home, just pack it, bring it back to church, you could pack those up, and we would like to get started on just giving those out in our community and just having those available. We also probably will have those at the fair. They are planning on having the Knox County Fair this year. It is going forward as far as I know. And so they called and said, do we want our space in the merchants building? And we said, yeah, we'll take it. We'll set up our tract display there. And, we can also give those packages out there at the fair. And so we'd like to have those made up for that as well. Okay, then I had a note here from Mrs. Veely. She said, "Dear Pastor Howard, I truly enjoy the teleconferences on Wednesday evening on the prayer service. May the Lord richly bless you with love in Christ, Alba." So Alba is one of our phone participants from Phoenix, and she's been able to join us on the phone for prayer time. So she really appreciates that. So we're thankful that she can be there with us. She is kind of an amazing woman, as she's blind and living on her own in Phoenix now, closer to her family, although her family is still, I think, not maybe a couple hours away, even from Phoenix. But she's a member of our church still, and so we're glad to be able to have some contact with her. All right. We'll open it up for testimonies here. I didn't give you any warning about that. Sorry about that. But this is your warning. Do you have anything you'd like to share tonight? And now I will say this. We have some wireless mics here. So if you have a testimony, you know, I'm going to hand this to you so we can hear you. Yeah, we did have Vacation Bible School this past week, so we're thankful that we had it. And my wife was Captain Crispy. Yeah, that was her treasure, was Captain Crunch there at the last day. We had a good group. It was a manageable group, I think, and kids that were in our church, are in our church, and ones, I think most everyone that we know, we've had some relationship with in the past, and so I think even though it was, a smaller group, it was still good to have that connection with them. Some of them that we don't see all the time, but still, we know them, so that was a blessing to be able to have that this week. Okay, anyone else tonight? Anyone else tonight? Other testimonies? Okay, I'm going to give this to you. You can try it out.
Enjoyed Captain Crispy, or just you enjoyed Captain Crispy. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. Well, along with Vacation Bible School, there were some particular answers to prayer. And one was that we would have the 25 kids, and I think we ended up with really right about 25 kids. Not all came every night, but that was an answer to prayer. I think we had 15 that came every night. So, 15 had perfect attendance. So they got to hear all the lessons. And then the other one was for help, because we were a little short on help, and I wasn't sure how that was going to go. But the Ray girls ended up being able to come, and I really appreciated them coming and helping, and some other ladies too. And I think actually the highlight of the week was the snacks. You should have seen some of the snacks.
Snacks were very good, yes, thanks to Mrs. Marlene Ray.
The last day, for example, they had a little punch cup, and it was full of vanilla pudding, and then there was crumbled up graham cracker on the top to look like sand, and an umbrella on a toothpick sticking out of it, and a little tiny shovel that you could eat with, to eat it with, and wasn't there a Hershey bar in there, like the back of a chair? So they were just pretty incredible, and I think all of that does make a difference in the week. Makes it fun and keeps the kids engaged and coming back. So thankful for the Lord, to the Lord for that. Anybody else want to go next?
All right. Any other testimonies tonight? Anybody else? We did have good weather. We were able to take the kids outside every day. So that was nice to be able to get them out, run them around outdoors, and not have to do games inside. So there was it the last day it was rainy during the day, but it did clear up so we could go outside on Friday night. So that was a blessing. And so thankful for that. And it was nice to have Liam here this morning. He came every night with us, and I think he was really thinking about the lessons and his own relationship to God as I would talk to him on the way home every night. And he's usually one that he talks nonstop, you know, the whole 12 miles back to Fredericktown. But the last night, you know, I was asking him questions, and no, he was quiet for about 5 miles. And I think he was really thinking about his own salvation and relationship to the Lord. And he seemed to want to come to church today as well. So praise the Lord for that. All right, anyone else tonight? Any other testimonies? Give you the chance to use the wireless mic here. I know you're all eager to do that. We want to pray for Mrs. Lewis. She had surgery Friday. And any update on her? About the same? Or okay. So we want to just keep her in our prayers for recovery, for her foot surgery she had. It was a praise to have Sue here also this morning, as she's had kind of a rough several weeks ever since her passing out there.
She was wore out today.
She was wore out after this morning, yeah. But it's good to see her here. All right, anybody else? All right, well, we'll go ahead and have another hymn.
For our next hymn, we'll turn to number 368 and sing, "Have I Done My Best for Jesus?" Hymn number 368, and let's stand.
Thank you.
may be seated.
All right, invite you to take your Bibles now and turn to Judges chapter 15. Judges chapter 15. We are in the book of Judges here Sunday nights, and we're going through the various careers of the judges. And we're right in the middle of the career of Samson. And we'll be looking here at chapter 15 tonight. Last time we looked at chapter 14, which was Samson's wedding. And we saw how that began with Samson wanting to marry this Philistine woman. And he goes down to talk to her some more with his parents. And on the way, he kills a lion, a roaring lion. And then he comes back and he eats some honey out of that lion. And that turns out to be something that he turns into a riddle at his wedding that his Philistine groomsmen are not able to figure out. So they go and threaten his wife that they're going to burn her and her house down if she doesn't tell him the answer to this riddle. And so she goes ahead and gives in and explains what this was. And they guess that, okay, this is a lion. There's honey in the lion. And Samson had to pay up these 30 changes of garments. And he does that by going and killing 30 Philistines. And we saw that all of this took place because the Lord sought an occasion against the Philistines. In chapter 14, verse 4, this is what was going on behind the scenes. The Lord was wanting to use Samson to begin to deliver the Israelites out of the hands of the Philistines. That's what the angel of the Lord had said to his parents. That was the his destiny. That was God's will for his life, and that was what God was doing all throughout this, even this wedding that takes place. So it didn't end very well. Samson was angry. He didn't go back to his wife. He went back to his father's house at the end, and turns out his wife was given to his companion, his friend. And now, after time goes by, we see what happens next here. So let's begin reading here in Judges 15:1. But it came to pass, within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I will go into my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and took firebrands, and turned tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst between the two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines, and burnt up both the shocks, also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. And the Philistines said, Who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Edom. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, Why are ye come up against us? And they answered, To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Edom and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, As they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said unto him, We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, No, but we will bind thee fast, and deliver thee into their hand. But surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass, I have slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramoth Lehi. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof En-Hakkor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Here we have in chapter 15 the description of how Samson gets revenge for the wedding that was a wedding to forget, instead of a wedding to remember, probably like he thought it would be. He comes away from that experience seeking revenge against the Philistines, which actually is God's will to begin to deliver the Philistines, to begin to deliver Israel from the Philistines. So we see the first phase of his revenge in verses 1 through 8. Samson comes to claim his wife, and it says that he brings a kid, course, a young goat, and he's coming to claim his wife. It's been suggested that perhaps this is the ancient equivalent of a box of chocolates. He's bringing this young goat to his wife, maybe trying to just kind of appease things, apologize, you know, go forward here. But then he finds out that his wife is no longer his wife. Her father had given her away to another man. He saw how that wedding had ended. Samson was angry. He saw this angry man go away, and he thinks, well, he's never coming back again. And so he goes ahead and gives the Philistine wife to another man. And Samson is understandably displeased here, and he begins to think of what he's going to do to get even, to have revenge on the Philistines. You know, we see here that the Philistines are people who don't play by the rules. Samson learned that in chapter 14 as well, when he thought that he could have them play along with this little game that he had, telling them this riddle, having them guess, thinking that they would actually use their brains instead of some other way. And turns out, the Philistines don't really care about guessing games. They're going to get what they want however they want. And here we see again, you know, the Philistines don't really care about marriage vows. They don't play by the rules. Perhaps there's people like that today that we need to be careful about as well. People who don't care about God's law. And, you know, there's people who we may need to be careful of and recognize, you know, they cannot be trusted. These people are not going to obey God. They could care less. And so we have to be careful about the modern day Philistines as well. So Samson begins to take his revenge, and he does that by setting the wheat fields on fire. Very interesting and effective method. He gathers up 300 foxes or jackals, and he's tying on these firebrands or torches to these foxes, and he's letting them loose in the fields of the Philistines. And this is right during wheat harvest. You know what wheat harvest is like, the condition of the wheat at that time. It is flammable. And can be burned. And so this is the time of year it is. Samson unleashes these foxes And he lets them go, and they burn up a lot. And really, it was even more extensive than the grain, also affected the vineyards and the olives, verse 5. Also the standing corn and with the vineyards and olives. So this would have been quite a destructive act that Samson did. You know, in a agricultural society, you can imagine the dismay when the people who have been cultivating these things find out that they're burned. These orchard groves are burned. They're not useful anymore. It's interesting that Samson is a man, whenever we see him at work, you know, he never uses any other people to help him. Interesting. Samson is a guy who he works alone. He uses animals. You get these foxes. He's doing that, but he's pretty much on his own with this. And then we see that the Philistines are very angry. Verse 6, Philistines said, "Who hath done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion." And the companion, the Philistines, came up and burnt her and her father with fire. Remember what that woman was most afraid of the first time? You know, the Philistines had come and threatened that they were going to do this if she didn't tell the riddle. And now the very thing that she feared and gave into is what ends up happening to her. It's interesting the way that that works here. And then Samson is able to kill some more Philistines. Verse 8, he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Edom. Here we see, I believe, an example of the vengeance of God. God brought back upon the Philistines revenge for, seems, their wrong actions. Of course, God used Samson here, but even within the Philistines themselves, there's a divine retribution that seems to take place here. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 reminds us, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.'" We need to remember that God is able to bring about justice. And sometimes He does that, you know, here in this life. But God is a God of justice, and He will bring justice upon wrongdoing. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, what people reap, they are going to sow. And we may not be able to see to it that that happens, but the Lord is a God of justice. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Then that brings us to the second phase of Samson's revenge, verses 9 through 17. We find that the Philistines end up coming to Judah because of Samson. They are preparing, it seems, to attack Judah, and Judah says, "Hey, why are you coming against us?" And they say, "We're looking for Samson. We want Samson. We don't want to bind him." And so then we see that the men from Judah, 3,000 men, come to Samson, wherever he is, it seems, maybe in a cave, or to the top of the rock Edom. Evidently, that's his hangout, back to the rock at Edom there. And the 3,000 men, verse 11, of Judah went to the top of the rock Edom and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us?" He said unto them, "As they did unto me, so I have done unto them." And they said unto him, "We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines." Samson said unto them, "Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves." And they spake unto him, saying, "No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee." And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. You know, Samson is a confusing character. But nevertheless, he was the man that God was using in that day. God was using Samson. God had it in his plan to use Samson from the very beginning of his life to begin to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And here we see a situation where the Israelites were not at all interested in that. They were interested in just keeping things the way that they were, not rocking the boat. And they found out that Samson was causing this trouble, and they come to him and say, you know, stop it. We like things the way they are. We don't want you to mess up this agreement that we have with the Philistines. You know, why didn't they do the opposite? Why didn't they get behind Samson and recognize, hey, you know what? God is doing something great through this man. Why don't we get behind him and support him and just follow him and see what God would do? They should have been happy that Samson had won this victory, I think. Should have been happy that he was using his strength to have this victory over the Philistines. Philistines were not at all interested in deliverance. They were happy with the way things were. And how were things? Well, from the book of Judges, we know that things were not very good. The people of Israel, time and time again, had fallen into sin. They had turned away from the one true God. And as a result of that, God gave them over to their enemies, and their enemies put them in bondage. And that's the situation that Israel is in right now. And basically they're saying, we like it this way. We don't want it to be different. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, says that sin dispirits men. Sin dispirits men. Hides from their eyes the things that belong to their peace. Sin dispirits men. You know, they had no motivation to really see God deliver them. They had no concern about that. They were happy with their state of idolatry and sin and just leave it that way. And so they confront Samson here. And I think we have to notice Samson's response. You know, Samson could have said, what's wrong with you people? Can't you see that I'm God's man, and this is the way that God is using me here. Why are you complaining about this? And no, he doesn't respond that way. He kind of goes along with it and says, okay, don't kill me. Just bind me up, all right? Just bind me up and deliver me over. And, of course, we know how the Lord will use him in that way. But he was willing to bear the responsibility there, and he could have been very angry even with his own people. So we see them deliver over Samson to the Philistines. Verse 14, when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. Samson is given this extra measure of strength by the Spirit of the Lord, and he grabs this jawbone of an ass, evidently a fresh jawbone of an ass, a new jawbone, and he uses that and he kills 1,000 Philistines. And then he writes a poem about it. You know, this is a man with, he's got these literary gifts, and he's writing this poetry. And evidently, the way he did that was he killed a bunch of people and piled them over here, killed a bunch more people, and he piled them over here, and killed more people, piled them over here, and he made a poem about that. That sounds kind of weird to us, but that's what he says. With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass, I have slain 1,000 men. And that's a poem in Hebrew poetry. It sounds a little more, like poetry in Hebrew, but it is poetry. And he names the place Ramoth Lehi, literally Jawbone Hill. Jawbone Hill. Here again we see one of the themes that it comes up over and over again in the book of Judges, and that is the fact that God uses the unusual and the most least expected instruments to accomplish His plan. You know, if Samson would have used the jawbone of a lion, maybe he could have boasted in some way that, hey, look at this powerful lion that I killed and used his jawbone to kill these thousand men. But no, it wasn't a jawbone of a lion. It wasn't a jawbone of a bear or any other large animal. It was the jawbone of an ass. God had taken him and had him use an ass's jawbone to accomplish this great feat. Don't think that was by accident. It was designed to be a tool in Samson's hand that would be the least useful, probably, from a human perspective, but to show that this wasn't just Samson at work. This was God taking something that in man's eyes is very not valuable, worthless, and making something out of that. And we see that over and over again in Judges. And that leads us to the thirst of Samson in verses 18 and 19. The thirst of Samson. Evidently, killing 1,000 Philistines was hard work. I can imagine that it would be. And Samson had used up all of his strength and energy, and now he is very, very thirsty. Verse 18, he was sore athirst. And now here, for the very first time in the biblical passages on Samson, we find Samson finally, in his life, acknowledging God. This is the first time we see that Samson acknowledges God. What does he acknowledge about God? He acknowledges that God gave him victory over the Philistines. He says to the Lord, "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant." He acknowledges that it wasn't all him. It was God that gave him that. He acknowledges that he is the servant of God. "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant." He saw himself as the servant of God. He acknowledges that one of his basic needs as a human is water. He needs water. He calls on the Lord. "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised." He acknowledges God. He acknowledges here that there is nothing else that he can do. If he does not get water, he's going to die. There's nothing else that Samson can do. Then we see that God provides for Samson, verse 19. "But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof En Hakkor, which is in Lehi unto this day." God provides water. It seems that it came out of somewhere, whether it be the jawbone or a place in that area. Remember, the name of the place had to do with jawbone. May have been, some commentators feel, that there was this place where they would grind up grain, and perhaps it came up into that, or perhaps out of the jawbone itself. Either way, God supernaturally gave Samson this water that he needed. And then he names the spring En Hakkor, meaning the well of him that called. The well of him that called. You know, Hebrews chapter 11, as we've seen, tells us that Samson was a man of faith. Hebrews 11:32. "What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. You know, with Samson, sometimes it seems a little bit hard to see where his faith was evidenced. But I think here in this chapter at the end, we do see some evidence of Samson's faith. We see faith, first of all, in the fact that he faced this challenge all alone. There was no one that stood up with Samson and said, "Samson, we believe that you're God's man, that God wants to use you greatly." There was nobody that said that. Samson was all alone in this. Our last lesson in VBS this week was on David and Goliath. So I was reading 1 Samuel 17 again and how God used David, who was probably just a teenage boy. And David really does the same thing. Nobody else stood up with David. Said, "David, we think you can do this. David, you can go face that giant Goliath." No, it was David himself. He was it. And David had the faith to believe that God could actually do something through him. And he wasn't doing that to make a point about himself or anything. As he says, he was doing that to show to Israel that there is a God in Israel. And to show to the world that there is a God. And I think we see the same thing here with Samson. Yeah, he has a lot of problems and failures, but I think we see his faith in that he was willing to face this challenge of the Philistines alone. You know, he wasn't waiting until he had an army behind him to go and to do what God wanted him to do. He simply stood up to them, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and the Lord gave him the victory. And Samson does that as he faces down these thousands of Philistines on his own. We see his faith in his facing a challenge all alone. And then I think we see his faith in his asking God for water. See his faith in his asking God for water. You say, "Well, that doesn't seem very spectacular." But notice here that Samson was at a point where he had used up all of his resources that he had. His supernatural strength, you know, it was pretty much depleted. It was all gone. And Samson's at a point where he just needs water. And there's times like that for us, I believe. There's times when all you can do is turn to God for help. You see that there is not help anywhere. And your resources are gone. They're fully depleted. And you've done all you can do, and that's not enough. There's still more that you need, and it's still not enough. What do you do? Well, you do what Samson did here. He called on the Lord, and he casted himself on God. Sometimes God has to do that with Samson. He brings Samson to a point where he is weak, and he's going to do that again. And it's at that point that we see Samson's faith come through. God brings him to a low point, and Samson calls out to the Lord, and the Lord responds to him. Sometimes God may do that in our lives. He brings you to a point where you don't have anywhere else to turn. There's nobody else that can help you. There's no person that can do anything for you. They're all gone. They're all away from you. And that's when you need to call on the Lord and ask Him for His help. And we see here that God hears our prayers. God knows when all of our trust is in Him. We're not trusting anything else except for what God can do through us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we acknowledge to you tonight that we need you. We know our own weakness. We know that there's nothing that we can do, and perhaps some of us see that, especially at this point. And we come here tonight to acknowledge that we are your servants. And we pray that you would give us what we need. Perhaps for some of us, that's some type of resource that we need, physical resource, financial, maybe spiritual help and guidance. We ask you for that tonight. Give us the faith that we need to trust you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, let's sing one more song here tonight. And what number is that? Do you have that piece of paper? 337. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Let's all stand as we sing number 337. Thank you for coming tonight. May the Lord bless you. We're dismissed.